You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
God does not allow self-pity for a Christian. He does not want you to have resentment and depression. That's the result of not believing God's promises that He made to you. What kind of a reaction is moaning and groaning to the blessings God has promised to a believer? We might ask the question Jesus often asked His disciples, where is your faith? Glory in a God who has made us so rich in things which will never fade away, we're told.
Do you grumble about financial difficulties or mourn the luxuries you can't afford? If you have self-pity, depression, or resentment, it's clear that you don't believe God's promises for provision and blessing are enough. Today, Pastor Tom will encourage you to instead think of all He's done for you. He chose you, He forgives you, and He's given you an eternal inheritance as His child. These blessings will never fade. Until your heart attitude is glorifying in Christ, you will always be discontent and envious. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Finding Contentment with Your Standard of Living.
The Christian poor man's high position is clearly his sonship with the living God who owns all things. His status with God, poor man has. To glory in the high position, therefore, means to rejoice in a privileged, rich relationship one has with God. Among all the peoples on the entire planet, those who are in Christ are the most privileged of everybody that is down here. I'm not exaggerating. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 proves me right. Believers who are in Christ, God has blessed us with every material blessing on earth. Is that how it reads? No, you know the Word of God too well. I can't pull that one over your eyes, right? It's not what it says. Some people would read the Word of God like that. He has blessed us with every what? Spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Ephesians 2, 6 backs it up. God has raised those that are in Christ up with Christ. You say, I didn't get a raise anywhere. I'm still down here on the planet. You know, I'm feeling kind of heavy today, like lead feet. I'm down here. No. You were raised up with Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Says so right there in the Bible. That is a very high and privileged position. Not even the angels get that. And it's yours if you're in Christ. Dr. John MacArthur writes, the poor Christian man may be hungry, but he has the bread of life. He may be poor, but he has eternal riches. He may be cast aside by men, but he has been eternally received by God. He may have no home on earth, but he has a glorious abode in heaven. That's what the Word of God has us glorying in. At least those that feel they're poor. This you are to glory in. You are to bask in it, and you are to brag about it. You say, wow, really? Yes. Now, don't misunderstand. There are things that are wrong to boast about. To boast about what one can do for himself is sin. I don't put it any other way. It's a sin. That's pride. That's the sinful pride. Later in James chapter 4, verse 16, we'll be warned, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Period. I can do this, and I can do that, and I achieve this, and I achieve that. And sometimes we brag other ways. And my kid did this, and my kid did that. It's just a backwards way of bragging, right? When we boast of self-accomplishment, that's evil. Self-aggrandizement is not at all what James is talking about here. What you boast in makes all the difference in the world as to whether it's right or it's wrong. Glorying in a high position brings to mind the prophet Jeremiah. Many of you know this passage, this verse. It's powerful. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. That's all that wise men do. They just brag about their wisdom all the time. No, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom or the strong man boast of his strength. And he boasts just when he stands in front of the mirror, right? Look what I got. That's boasting. Or the rich man boasts of his riches. He just sits in his car and just boasts. Just gives that look, right? No, don't do that. Then it goes on, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Boast about knowing God. Wow. Wow. Boasting is required of us. We are supposed to boast in our great God and all that he has done for us. In Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, brag about him. See? 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, let him who boasts, doesn't say stop boasting, it says boast in the Lord. Boast about him. Glory in him. When's the last time you bragged about Jesus? He's better than Muhammad. He's better than Buddha. Don't put them all on the same plane. They're not. One's God and perfect. The others are humans and sinful. Period. There's a gulf between them. Brag about Jesus Christ. Tell the world how great he is. Tell the world what he did for you. And give him the glory, you see. Remember the man that was delivered of the demon legion? He was told by Jesus in Mark 5, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. Humility in himself, for he was a fool, bragging in the great things that God did for him. Do you see that? How he had mercy on you, Jesus told him in Mark 5. Philippians 3, we are those who, here it is again, glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. We never brag about the flesh. We never brag about what we did. We never brag about how good we are. We brag and boast and glory in Christ. Are you boasting in the Lord this morning? Far from being wrong, I'll tell you what's wrong. Here's what's wrong. To go about life as a believer, grumbling all over the place. Because of what? Because I don't have a travel budget for this year. I'm kind of sulky. That gadget in the Apple store, it's going to be 2 years before I can afford that. And I have to go shopping at Walmart for furniture. Can't put the kid in a nicer school. We grumble about that instead of thinking on what God's done for us. What has he done for you? Let me just start with a few things, remind you a few things. He chose you somewhere in eternity past. He picked you and said, that one's mine. And then after you'd made a fool of yourself in this world, because you did and don't deny it, because I did too, he still went through with his plan. Forgave all your sins, washed you up. That would have been amazing grace. Then he made you his own child and said to you, I'm going to share the inheritance of my only begotten son, Jesus, with you. You're going to get that inheritance too. Yeah, but Lord, I don't have a travel budget for this year. You know, I can't get that piece of furniture I've seen over there in that store. And my neighbor has it. See, we're not boasting in the Lord. We're grumbling about that. What a contrast, huh? Moping around, moaning, alternating between lust, oh, I really want it, and then fretting and regret, oh, I never got it. And acting like those in the world, not in Christ, those in the world are better off. How dare you do that? And then some even justify their sinful actions because they didn't get it. Well, I didn't get it, so this is what I did. God does not allow self-pity for a Christian. He does not want you to have resentment and depression. That's the result of not believing God's promises that he made to you. What kind of a reaction is moaning and groaning to the blessings God has promised to a believer? We might ask the question Jesus often asked his disciples, where's your faith? Glory in a God who has made us so rich in things which will never fade away, we're told. Everything that I own is already fading away. It is back there at my house. It's fading away right now. Got to rush home, polish it up, clean it up. It's fading away, all of it. I've been promised something that will never fade away. It's eternal. It's eternal. I can't even get that. It's eternal. Gold passes away. Gold gets lost. Gold gets stolen. Whatever I'm going to get is better than gold.
Now, I just want to ask, don't you think that believers can accept the temporary discomforts of this world in view of a vastly superior and more satisfying possession in heaven? Can't we do that? Remember the Apostle Paul, Romans 8:18, I consider the sufferings of this present time. By the way, he's talking personally there, and he had a lot of sufferings. This is a guy who was shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and put in prison and fill in the blank. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So, what do I get from that? My inheritance in Christ is something unspeakably glorified. I can't even get there. I can't even in my mind envision what it is. Paul got little glimpses of it. I mean, he was a prophet. He got to see that, and he would communicate that to us, and we're like, okay, so what is it? We hear the word glory. We're like, it doesn't sound too exciting. Glory is all the honor and all the joy and all the circumstances and all the health and all the everything that you want. It's all going to be given to you beyond your imagination. Sister Ann just shared this morning of a 99-year-old lady just passed away to be with Jesus. She was, in her 70s when we first went to that church, and she was the first friend that Sue and I had there. And she, according to Ann, was praying that she just would go. She's 99. She's ready to be promoted into glory. And now she's there. And she's in glory now. And she's not looking back. I don't know. I haven't been on that side. See, the thing is, I got to talk about glory to you, and I haven't been on that side. So I got to talk, you know, what Jesus says about it, because he was on that side, right? And he came down here, and he said, this is what it is. I don't care too much about books that have been written by some boy that says he died and went to heaven. He retracted that story, by the way. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I want to listen to the one who was in glory, who made glory, and came down here to tell us all about it, Jesus Christ. And what he says, glory is like, I'm going with that, because Muhammad didn't know that. Buddha didn't know that. Buddha said he's enlightened. Who says Buddha's enlightened? Buddha said Buddha was enlightened. How does that work? He don't know. He doesn't. Jesus knows. He knows. Yeah, if you're not as rich as you want to be right now, so what? Come on. So what? If you had all those things you wanted, you'd have to go and polish them. You have to insure them. You have to watch out. You got a brand new car. You know, you waited 47 years to buy this Camaro. You know, you drive it up there and you're polishing it, you know, you get out. Some lady with three moms trying to get out of a minivan or out of a SUV swings her door open, dink. You look at her like you want to kill her. Now you should be helping her. You have to take care of everything you get. That's one of the reasons why we can't get some people to do more service in church, because they got to take care of, right? What are you doing? Well, I had to do this and drive this, and this is this broke, and this needs repairs, and I got to call about this thing, and I got to do this. It's like, do you own the stuff, or does the stuff? Yeah. Jesus said that material things can choke out spiritual life. I wonder how much of your prayer time and study time goes away because you have to take care of stuff. Really, you can do all the budgeting in the world that you want to do. You can get 5 jobs to make ends meet, but until your heart attitude is glorying in Christ, you will always be going about feeling like you are a loser, disgruntled, envious of others. And envy and discontentment are cousins. And they will follow you everywhere. And they will rain on your parade. Rather than living that way, the Holy Spirit says the poor should be the ones up front in church. They should be the ones glorying in their high position. The poor ought to be the worship leaders. They should be up front, shouting the loudest. Glory to God for our high position. They ought to be the ones, you know, with the rich in the back going, why are they shouting so loudly? Because they understand the beauty that's going to come, and they're not looking at the stuff down here. They don't have as much stuff down here. They're looking forward to it. That is the attitude the poor ought to have. Later, James will say that God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith. Wow! And to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him. It's all about reversing the way this is. Remember what Jesus said? Everyone who exalts himself will what? Be humbled. Everyone who humbles himself will what? Be exalted. It's all going to be reversed in the end times. We call that an eschatological reversal. The way things are now is not the way God is going to have it. That explains a lot of the injustice in the world right there. God won't let it stand. He's going to change it. Told us about the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man had everything. Lazarus had nothing. Now Lazarus has everything, and the rich man is like just someone cool in my tongue. And Abraham says, no, you had good things in your life. No. One of the dangers for Christians when political fervor gets high is to put too much stock in human government and human politics to solve man's problems. Man trying to solve man's problem. All the media talk shows, the left or the right, doesn't matter, they leave God out. Whatever their solution is, it's not Scripture, it's not Christ. Christians have to look at all the issues differently. We know our help cometh from the Lord, not the voter booth. We understand at root society's problems are spiritual. The best political work we can do today is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and change one heart at a time. We should be fighting for righteousness, but our fight is for the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ as we await the right political leader. Not the one who will arise among men. He's called the Antichrist, by the way. But the one who will descend from heaven. That's the true Christ. And he'll take up his throne, Jerusalem. And he will rule over all the kingdoms of the world. And the thing that's startling about it is he said he'll share it with us. Colossians 3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed in glory. That's your high position. Poor people, glory in it. Brag about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now let's talk to the rich. Verse 10. And let the rich man glory in his humiliation. Well, that's all backwards. The rich man glory in his humiliation. One has to think of how high God will make him. The other brother has to think how low he already is. What does that mean? Well, I mean, if you're saying I'm not rich, just remember the middle class in America is much richer than tens of millions of people throughout this world, right? If not hundreds of millions. In part, what it means is the believer who is materially blessed should rejoice when tough times come and his peaceful, easy way of life is interrupted. Very similar to what verses 2 through 4 said, consider all joy when you encounter various trials. You see, generally speaking, the rich are lacking spiritually. For through their riches, they avoid many of the trials of life and the lessons that come with those trials. They have the ability to get others to do the work for them, to fix the things that are broken or replace it with something bright, shiny, and new. They don't usually have to adjust their lifestyle when the economy goes south. They can afford the best health care, the finest foods, the safest and most convenient travel, the best lawyers, and most bothersome of all, the best seats at the football game. Living like this, they learn little about the truth that they are insufficient for them and that their character has many deficiencies and needs to change, that they have weak faith, that they can talk the talk, but they haven't even walked the walk yet. They've never been in a situation where they had to trust God for anything. And so it's deceitful, this self-sufficiency. I remember a man I was in a Bible study with. He was like, man, he was big on the verses, memorizing verses, talked a lot about the Lord. He lost his job. He had a job for 25 years with the same company, and the company dumped him. It was not fair the way he was dumped. He was a good worker. They picked on one thing, they dumped him. He lost his faith right away. Maybe sometimes God lets that happen to show people what they're really trusting in. I trust in God. Well, let's find out. Let's find out. 1 Timothy 6, very similar to this. Verse 17, write this one down. 1 Timothy 6, 17. This is Paul telling Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this present world. So there are rich people in church. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. First thing he says to them. Or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but fix their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Unfortunately, the rich tend to do just that. They tend to trust in their riches. Oh, they deny it. I'm not trusting in my riches. I'm trusting in God. They're trusting in their riches. It gives them a false sense of security, though. It's actually a disadvantage to be rich. What an un-American thing to say. It's a disadvantage to be rich if you want to be great in the kingdom of God. How few rich people are on their knees as prayer warriors? How few? The wealthy and the healthy, what need do they have of God? Many of them not even sure there is a God. How many of them are humble servants, get their fingers dirty for Christ? Listen to Proverbs 18:11. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Can't touch this. So the response of the rich has to be very different from the poor. Self-denial, humility, give things away. When faith fills the minds of rich believers, they're afraid to spend too much money on themselves. They know a day of reckoning is coming. They want to make sure they use the assets that God has given them to be a blessing to others. I love it when you see a rich man driving an ordinary car and giving a lot of money to missionaries and churches and the work of Christ. What a testimony, right? How would you do if you got $10 million tomorrow? Oh, that'd be no problem. That'd be no problem, Pastor. I'd handle it really well. I don't know. Remember Tevye and the fiddler on the roof, you know? When the communist guy said, you know, money is the world's curse, and he stepped out and said, may the Lord smite me with it. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? There's a poor guy wanting to be rich. This is the wisdom from God. Listen, Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Lord, but can I pay you off? I know I didn't live the best, but what can I give you? He already owns everything. Righteousness delivers from death, it says in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall. That's bad, isn't it? See, because you want to get it all set up for retirement. There it is. I'm not saying you shouldn't be responsible. I'm talking about the attitude of trust. There it is. I'm good. I'm safe now. Look what I have. Really? Luke 6, Jesus' words. Woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Yes, there are some righteous rich in the Bible. Zacchaeus got saved while rich, but he gave a lot away. Abraham was very rich and very generous. Matthew 27:57 tells of a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph who became a disciple of Jesus and honored the body of Jesus in his burial. But often riches are just a snare. Mark 4:19, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Clearly then, one of the best things that could ever happen to the rich who trust in their own strength and their own riches is to lose it all. That was the lesson that Jesus was trying to get across to the rich young ruler, right? How do I inherit eternal life? Well, you know the commandments. You know, what are they? Well, I've kept all those commandments. Well, there's one thing you lack. Go sell everything you own and give it to the poor and come follow me. Oops. Can't do that. I own too much. That's unreasonable. Well, see, the 10th commandment is thou shalt not covet. There's a lot of riches that you're kind of just hanging on to. It may not be your neighbor's wealth, but you're still coveting it. But humiliation teaches people to depend on God. Now, as I read my Bible, it says that if you depend on God, you're safer than if you depend on riches. But I'm not sure we think that way. We're like, oh, of course I depend on God. Now, let me get this all set up. It's got to be there. It's not there. I'm all upset. I think even if there's no humiliating external trial that would hit the rich in the pocketbook, James is still trying to tell the rich to consider the reality of their own spiritual condition before God. Don't be lifted up in self. Have an inward humility. Recognize the poverty of your own soul. Recognize how much you needed grace. How well do you recognize that you need grace?
In order to find contentment in life, you may need to give up seeking after material things. If you continue to pursue more or better things or a comfortable life, your spiritual life and relationship with God can be choked out. Today on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom challenged you to examine your heart to see where your financial priorities lay. Until your heart truly glories in Christ and His provision, you'll live a life full of disappointment and envy. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you, so if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. It's easy for a wealthy person to trust in their own strength, skills, and in their money much more than in God. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will teach about how the rich are sometimes lacking spiritually because they don't often go through the trials that will grow trust in God, and they miss the fruit trials bring. Riches will not last and will not deliver you into eternity. Only Jesus' sacrifice on the cross will. Thanks for tuning in today for Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Tom, visit hopebiblechurch.org. There's much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll join us again right here on Discover Hope.